Readers, I was extremely fortunate to meet Dave Barry, my guest today, when we were both at the Miami Herald. Of course, you know, Dave is a wildly popular syndicated humor columnist who, among many other kudos, has won a Pulitzer Prize for commentary. He's written movies, more than 30 books, including History of the Millennium So Far, which you'll find previewed on archived shows, bookreportradio.com, week of January 22nd, 2011. His newest title is Lunatics, which he wrote with Alan Zweibel. Zweibel is an original writer for Saturday Night Live and has won Emmy Awards for his work on The Gary Shandling Show, Monk, and Curb Your Enthusiasm. He won the Thurber Prize for his novel The Other Shulman, and he collaborated with Billy Crystal on his Tony Award-winning play 700 Sundays. Welcome, Dave. Thanks for stopping by the Book Report.
Thanks for having me.
How did you and Alan decide to write a book together?
Well, we met at the Mark Twain Awards in I think 2005, when Steve Martin was the award winner, and I was one of the presenters, and Larry David was one, and Alan Zweibel was a writer for helped Larry David with his speech, and we met there, kind of hit it off, and then I ran into him over time at a number of book events, Miami Book Fair and others, and he started saying we should do something together. That's kind of, he's a very enthusiastic person. But I said, sure, let's do something, but I didn't really think we'd ever do anything together. And then he came up with this idea for a book where all the concept he had was that there were these two dads at a soccer game for little girls, 10-year-old, 11-year-old girls. And one of the dads is a referee, and he calls a penalty, an offsides penalty on one of the other girls just as she scores what would have been an important goal. And that gets the dad of that girl very upset. So you have these two dads. And he said, I'll write the one dad, and you can write the other dad, and we'll just see where it goes. That was the whole premise. And so he wrote a chapter where the guy who's a nice man, calls this offsides penalty, and turned it over to me. And I came up with another guy, and his guy was really nice, kind of like him, kind of like Alan, this kind of goofy man, sweet. So I just created this complete horrible jerk, this racist, homophobic idiot, moron, disgusting human being. And that became my character. And so we wrote chapters back and forth in character, kind of like improvisational comedy, basically trying to make each other laugh. And the plot, let's loosely call it the plot, went from there.
Ah, so you were the evil Jeffrey Peckerman.
I am the evil Jeffrey Peckerman.
And so you wrote all of the horrible Jeffrey.
I wrote all the horrible Jeffrey, and I wrote the news accounts at some point later on. The plot gets quite convoluted in this book. And to explain, the guys, the characters themselves, Philip Horkman, who's Alan's character, and Jeffrey Peckerman is mine, get involved in all kinds of major world events, but they never really know that that's happening. So we create so we could let the readers know what was going on. We had Brian Williams weigh in periodically from NBC.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that because besides Brian Williams, you had Donald Trump and Charo, and you showered a bit of attention on Sarah Palin too.
Shower attention is a very classy way of putting it. Like that.
Thank you, sir. So did you actually have to contact these famous people before you wrote about them?
Yes, absolutely. We talked to Donald Trump. We talked to Charo. We talked to Sarah Palin. No, we didn't talk to anybody. Just wrote them in the book, and we hope that they don't sue us, or in the case of Donald Trump, hire large men to come beat us up.
Well, the book settings included Cuba, Tiananmen Square, Mogadishu, and Yemen, but am I correct in deducing that the book is actually a scathing commentary on U.S. elections?
Well, we end up, we needed an ending, and we were thinking, we hadn't done a whole lot of plotting up to that point. I mean, it's wild what happens to these guys within several days of meeting each other. These two guys who don't like each other and don't ever want to see each other again have, through a series of coincidences, accidentally, completely inadvertently, managed to hijack a clothing optional cruise ship. And that's only sort of the beginning of where it gets weird. So as we go through all those venues you talked about, we thought, well, when the book comes out, the presidential election will be underway here, the campaign. So we'll work that in, and we had our two guys play a significant role in the presidential elections. Again, not intentional, really, just significant.
Yes, and specifically the Republican nominees. So, in actuality, Dave, who do you wish the Republican nominee to be?
Oh, they're all kind of. I miss Herman Cain. Can I just say that? Miss Herman Cain a lot. And I never thought I would. I didn't even know who he was 6 months ago, and now I miss him desperately. He was a fun guy, and I miss him.
So, can we expect a movie version of this book?
It actually has been optioned by Universal to be a movie. Now, whether it actually becomes a movie or not is anyone's guess, but it has been optioned. We've been working on the outline for the screenplay, and Steve Carell is attached to play the Philip Hortman character. Alan Zweibel is very plugged in L.A. and Hollywood, and he showed it to, I don't know, he shows it everything to everybody, but at some point somebody from Steve Carell's production company saw it and liked it and showed it to Steve Carell, and he liked it, and so we ended up with a deal with Universal.
How was it for you to narrate the audiobook?
It was a little bit weird for me because this character that I created uses very bad language, and if I'm going to read his character, I have to read. But once I got into it, I kind of enjoyed it because he's such a he's got a unique voice, this guy. and I kind of got into just being this horrible human being.
And I have to know, do you really think that America has to worry about a connection between international terrorism and Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, if we get only one message across to the American people, it's that, you know, we need to take a much, much closer look at Chuck E. Cheese and ask ourselves, what's really going on in those places?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, having suffered through many a birthday party there. So what are you working on now?
I'm working on another novel. This will just be my own novel, and it's a novel about a wedding set in Miami where things go very wrong. I love to write about Miami and incorporate just some of the weirdness in the air here. And as Carl Hyacin has said, and it can be true, you can't really make Miami in a novel, in a fiction form, any stranger than it really is in real life. So it's kind of a delightful place to write about for me.
Are you working on any books for younger readers?
Yeah, Ridley Pearson and I will be, right, we've got an idea for a series, and I think it's very cool. He and I did the Starcatchers series, Peter and the Starcatchers, and we had a great time doing that and had a great relationship with Disney, and they wanted us to come up with another idea, and we came up with what we think is a pretty cool series. It's quite different from the Starcatcher series. It's not set in the past. It's, in fact, set in the future, and we're pretty excited about it. I got to finish this novel, and Ridley's got to finish some other stuff, but the second half of this year, we're going to produce the first one of those books.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. This is, I have to say, I read every word of Lunatics, and I read a lot of it in a sort of a public place, and there were many embarrassing laugh-out-loud moments on my part.
Yeah. I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Elaine. You take care.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye.